one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you holding up? How are you doing? What's going on with you? There are more than 65 million Americans right now caring for an impaired, chronically ill, aging, somebody with mental illness, a loved one, somebody who has a drug or addiction issue. That's a chronic impairment. Wherever there's a chronic impairment, there's a caregiver. And we're here to help strengthen family caregivers, point them to safety, and help them live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life while taking care of somebody who has some very challenging needs. I'm in my 35th year as a caregiver, bringing a lengthy level of experience at failure. I'm not a there kind of guy, but I don't go down there kind of guy. That's a bad place. I've been down there. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I want to start off with the scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And this is Jesus talking. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10 is our scripture today. And there's a theme for all of this. And then I have a trivia question for you, but it's in the form of a drop the needle. I'm going to play a song and see if you know this hymn, okay? See if you know this hymn. You even get bonus points if you know who wrote it, but I want to just give a little excerpt of it. It's... that hymn, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. All right, I got a special guest here. This week has been a very big week. This month is it's a hard month for us as a nation because every time January rolls around, we remember that we allowed our nation to go down a very terrible path of legalizing abortion. And this week, organization Preborn, many of you all know this organization, led by a gentleman named Dan Steiner. And they've been working very hard to raise money to sponsor 3,000 ultrasounds to help save lives and save souls of these folks that they're reaching out to. And they've done it. And we're ending up this week with a great week. And I want to introduce Dan to you and tell you a little bit of why I want him on my show today. The show is called Hope for the Caregiver, but there's a theme here of life, and this is what Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. We have a culture of death in this country and around the world, and I was deeply troubled a couple years ago when we heard from the governor of Virginia talking about a child being born with deformities or special needs or whatever, birth defects, and they would put the child aside and then have a conversation, and... this just deeply troubled a lot of people, and including me, because I'm talking to a lot of families who are overwhelmed with a special needs child. And when you got a governor who's also a physician, basically allowing and giving permission to kill a child, it is a horrific set of circumstances that our country has devolved to. And Francis Schaeffer called this out way back in the 70s and said, this is where we're going with this. And here we are. And then the Atlantic Monthly came out last month, and they talked about it was the end of Down syndrome children, because the way they're doing this rampant testing of amniocentesis and so forth to test for Down syndrome, and they experimented with this on in Denmark, I believe it was, yeah, Denmark, and they had a 100% testing, and the abortion rate in Denmark soared up to 95% with Down syndrome. Now, in this country, it's over 70% from what I understand. And so we've got this mentality in this country that if it's uncomfortable for us, we don't like it, we're going to kill it. And that applies to babies, and that applies to the seniors. That applies to people with, you know, all kinds of suffering going on in their life. Well, let's just go ahead and end their suffering. And we call it merciful. But that doesn't line up with anything in Scripture. And so Dan is on this week. Dan, you've had a very busy week, and I'm glad to have you here. And I want to make sure I can hear you. Okay, you with me, Dan?
sir. It's so great to be on this morning.
Well, thank you. You've had a very busy, productive, and a meaningful week this week, haven't you?
Boy, it is meaningful. Preborn, along with American Family Radio listeners, have underwritten over 3,000 ultrasounds that we're going to give 100% every dime to our clinics across America in the highest abortion cities, offering contradiction to the narrative that you just described, that if something's a problem and it's inconvenient, you can just dispose of it. But when that woman sees that it's a baby, in fact, it sees it as her baby inside of herself, then all of a sudden she is reorientated to the truth that our great leader of AFR and of Preborn and of Hope has this morning, Jesus Christ, that says they'll know the truth and the truth will set them free. And they don't kill their children, Down's children, handicapped children, when they see their baby. And I can tell you many, many people I've met that have chosen life in the face of having what the world would call a handicapped child, because they saw that baby in the ultrasound, and in contradiction to the wickedness, the American Medical Association, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, that recommends that you just dispose of these precious people, they chose life. So it's a joy and it's an honor to be on with you this morning, Peter, to again reaffirm and echo the value of every life created in the image of God, not the image of American prosperity, not the image of what's normal in our eyes, but rather in the image of God. These babies, whether they're severely mentally handicapped, Down syndrome, physically disabled in some fashion, bear the spirit that was breathed in them by the living God at the moment of conception. I didn't know, Peter, if you knew this, but at the moment of conception, science now tells us, at the moment of conception, there's a spark, actually a luminescent light that ignites in the womb of a woman where the sperm meets the egg. And I believe that that's the moment where the Spirit of God comes into that baby. We know from the testimony of John the Baptist in utero of his mother, Elizabeth, that these unborn children, doesn't say that the Down's children don't have it, doesn't say that the mentally handicapped children don't have it. Everyone has a spirit, and they're eternal beings with an eternal purpose. God has underwritten their life by putting them on this earth in their mother's womb. All their days were known for them before there was yet one of them, it says in Psalm 139. And we have no right playing God, taking that away from them. And so I just applaud what you are doing here in your program every week, taking a stand for these precious people.
Once we start devaluing life in any form, it's going to take us down very dark paths. And what brought me to this, there was a guy in, I've been tracking these stories that have been happening. There was a guy in Tennessee a couple of years ago, beat his nonverbal son with autism to death. A woman in Oregon shot her disabled son. Another, I can go down the list of people that are dealing with this, and what happens is they become overwhelmed and they go in these dark thoughts where the isolation gets them. And if they're listening to the governor of Virginia, for example, let's just be done with it. And this is what highly concerns me, that we're not valuing life. Jesus said he came to bring life and have it to the full. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We're talking to Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, preborn.org. Don't go away. We got more to go. While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, and I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, a little bit, but I've been through worse.
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/The Stand.
24/7 emergency support. Increasing safety, reducing isolation. These things are more important than ever as we deal with the challenges of COVID-19. How about your vulnerable loved ones? We can't always check on them or be there in ways we'd like. That's why there's Constant Companion, seamlessly weaving technology and personal attention to help push back against the isolation while addressing the critical safety issues of our vulnerable loved ones and their caregivers. Constant Companion is the solution for families today. Staying connected, staying safe. It's smart, easy, and incredibly affordable. Go to www.mycompanion247.com today. That's mycompanion247.com. Connection and independence for you and those you care about. mycompanion247.com.
'Cause with Jesus, I can take it all as Him.
Back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. That's my wife, Grace, from her CD, Resilient, and singing that her life is in His hand. And we're talking about life today. We're talking about the value and the sanctity of life. And this is something that is troubling us in the Christian world as our society continues to go down this very dark path of devaluing life. We've been warned about this throughout all of Scripture. You could see a lot of this. And then we've had, in the last 60 years or so, we've had people on the scene been sharing these kinds of things. And yet here we are in a situation where the world just keeps ramping it up and putting the accelerator down to go even further. Let's go ahead and start, dying with dignity and all kinds of things that they couch it in. It sounds really noble. Is it? And I've got on the phone with me here Dan Steiner, president of Preborn and preborn.org. They've been working to help intercept this. And Dan, I'm going to throw out something to you. I don't rehearse the questions on this show because I don't know sometimes what I'm going to ask until we go live. But it's but I don't do a lot of interviews on this show. This is more caller driven, but I'm this was important for this week, for this month, to have you guys on here. I've been saying this to people for a while, and if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me. I know it's my show, but that's okay. You can correct me. I'm teachable, and I'm correctable. I've been corrected many times. But I am convinced over a period of time that you can't politically argue someone into a pro-life stance because it's a spiritual issue. And if they don't have that spiritual component to God being the author of life, you're just trying to make this into a political argument. Doesn't seem to work. You cannot separate the work of God, and particularly the redemptive work of Christ, but into the pro-life conversation. Am I just being off the mark on that, or is that something that you have found as well?
Well, like noses, everybody's got an opinion, Peter, but the Word of God's pretty clear. And it says in John 12:40, He's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so they can neither see with their eyes nor hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, nor turn that they could be healed. And so everything, I believe, Peter, and it sounds like you do too by your question, that is spiritually driven, whether it's the political scene, whether it's the fight for life, whether it's anything that we have, including those that may have handicapped in some way, children, don't discount the fact that God's sovereign in every situation. And, I've long abided by this quote to your point, which is, a man persuaded against his will is of the same opinion still. So I don't waste a lot of time with those that don't have any interest in hearing the truth. You know, state your case and be done with it. And, you know, but here's where we've got the distinct advantage, right? We've got the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, Spirit of truth. Jesus said he'd send the Paraclete, and that allows us to penetrate that darkness. And so as we're led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, I think that, you know, there's some hope in being able to enlighten them, and maybe we won't see a turning right at that moment of conversation, but God's able to continue to convict people as well. And our job is just to love people. I mean, what an assignment, right? Whether they're for us or against us, we love them. God defends us. We're good, you know?
Well, and you know, of course, the Word of God never returns void, and we're not responsible for results. We're responsible to be obedient. And
amen.
And as we put this out there, we don't know how that's going to germinate in someone's life. And if you're just trying to argue people about this, I'm like you. You're not going to be successful. This is not a normal political topic, such as, you know, should we increase funding for the military kind of thing or whatever. You know, this is a deeply spiritual event on when does life start, what is the value of life, who is the author of life, you know, is there an authority greater than our own reasoning? And as Schaefer said, the Christians weren't thrown to the lions because they worshiped Jesus. The Christians were thrown to the lions because they espoused that there was a greater authority than the state, or in that case, Caesar. And when you tell the state that you are answerable to God, the state doesn't like that. and so you worship whatever God you want as long as you recognize the authority of the state. And this is where our country is going to now, that we're having these statists who are saying that it is our desire, our belief, our opinions that matter to everything. And as believers, we're saying, no, it is the Word of God. There is nothing else but the Word of God. And so here, therein lies the battle. And so our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against powers and principalities. And we also have a clear directive to speak to the hearts of people. This is what you guys are doing, and you're winning over hearts. And I love your mission is to not just save lives, you're saving souls. And in the last few minutes of this segment here, just tell me how rewarding that is, and take listeners into those kinds of moments where you the deep gratifying reward that you a life has been rescued, a soul has been pointed to Christ.
It really is a heart-changing thing when a girl comes into our center. She's under the pressure by her boyfriend, maybe her mother, to abort her child. They don't want to deal with the consequences of their aberrant sexuality. 65% of them are not married, and yet I recall a woman that came in, and she had a one night stand, was pregnant. She was with her 20-year-old daughter, and she was in her 40s. She was a house cleaner. She couldn't in any way see her way of being able to keep her job being pregnant, so she wanted to abort. Well, we took her back into the ultrasound room, Peter, and there on the screen was not one baby but two babies. She had twins, and she's wanting to abort until she saw these babies on ultrasound. An ultrasound, by the way, provided by an AFR listener, through our preborn child sponsorship program. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to abort these babies. You know, I can't do it. I can't kill these two babies. And so she chose life, knowing that she wouldn't be able to do her job in a few months because she'd be fully pregnant, especially with twins. And her 20-year-old daughter, who was in the room with her, said, Mom, I'll take your jobs for you. We need to let my sisters live. And so that's the power of what we're doing together. If your listeners have an interest in being part of this, they can sponsor an ultrasound, Peter, by dialing #250 on their cell phone and say keyword baby, #250, keyword baby. Our operators are waiting for your tax-deductible donation. You can be part of the solution. But I'll tell you what, That was a couple years ago when that lady came in. And Victoria and Isabella are the twins. They're wonderful little girls. And they come into our office. Now she's still doing cleaning. She also cleans our office in Los Angeles for free. And actually, we pay her. She didn't want it, but we do anyway. But anyway, to be able to see these girls, to talk with them, to, you know, see them move now forward in their lives is just an unspeakable matter. You know, you look into their eyes. Women come in and sometimes holding their infants that they chose life for, and you look into the eyes of these babies and you think, you know, what could have been the case that they could be, you know, lying in a trash bin behind Planned Parenthood. And we are the direct competition for Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Miami, Houston, and Dallas, the biggest cities of America, where we are giving them a run for their money. And we've just begun, Lord willing. And so whether these babies come out and what society deems as normal, or whether they come out as the incredible blessing, as you know, Peter, of being what the world would call a handicapped child. I've got had two handicapped daughters, one of which is with Jesus today, and I cannot adequately express the blessing they are in my life. And so for those such as yourself that are standing in defense of these precious people, I think the Lord has a special crown that he'll give you for that. And it's been a joy to be part of your program here today.
Well, I wanted listeners to hear this because I know there are parents out there of special needs children, who, and you know, you're one of them, and you know that it can be extremely exhausting and discouraging, dismaying, all the things involved. It is a difficult journey. Isolation is one of the hardest things that every caregiver deals with. And in isolation, dark thoughts come to us. And I wanted them to hear thoughts that reflect the Word of God, reflect life. You know, Dan is not doing this in a vacuum. He's done this as a father of special needs children himself, and he understands the value of life. And once we start devaluing life, where does it stop? And so when the Atlantic Monthly put out that article about we're going to make, you know, eradicate Down syndrome, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to test, and if the baby shows Down syndrome, then we're going to go ahead and abort the child and kill the child. Well, my question is, do you think they're going to stop with Down syndrome? And I would suggest to you, what evidence gives you any confidence that they're going to stop with Down syndrome? Until anything that we feel like makes us uncomfortable is eradicated, the world is not going to stop. And that's right. A fool's errand, because we're not going to have perfection on this earth. We're going to have flaws. We're going to have defects. We're going to have challenges and special needs and all these kinds of things. But God's grace is deeper than all of that. And chronic pain, all of these things. So, Dan, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you sharing these words today with us. And please go out to preborn.org. Get involved. And Dan, thank you again, and you're welcome anytime. Thank you for the work that you're doing. It really means a lot that you're out there doing this. And please lift Dan up in prayer and his whole team.
Thanks, Peter. This is a joy.
All righty. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. And by the way, I've got people saying they know the answer to my musical trivia question. We'll see if they do. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I'm Peter Rosenberger. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
...24/7 emergency support. Increasing safety, reducing isolation. These things are more important than ever as we deal with the challenges of COVID-19. How about your vulnerable loved ones? We can't always check on them or be there in ways we'd like. That's why there's Constant Companion, seamlessly weaving technology and personal attention to help push back against the isolation while addressing the critical safety issues of our vulnerable loved ones and their caregivers. Constant Companion is the solution for families today. staying connected, staying safe. It's smart, easy, and incredibly affordable. Go to www.mycompanion247.com today. That's mycompanion247.com. Connection and independence for you and those you care about. mycompanion247.com. I'm not afraid to say hi, but there's love in my heart.
There are some times when I doubt, but you won't. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you feeling? How are you doing? How are you holding up? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Okay, our trivia question was in the form of a musical trivia question. Do you know that hymn? Now, those chords, by the way, are not sanctioned. Those are high-dollar chords. But do you know that hymn? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And now, the show is for caregivers, not for seminary professors who can Google or whatever and find out things. So if you do have a caregiver story, I would recommend you calling that, you know, doing that. And if you're not, just let other caregivers take a stab at it. But the point of this thing today we're talking about is life and making sure we understand the value of life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And our culture now has embraced this whole thing of death because this is unpleasant. We have to kill it. If it's not what we want, let's get rid of it. And you could go back to Obama talking about if his daughter makes a mistake, he doesn't want her to be punished with a baby. He didn't say baby. He said be punished with a pregnancy. You know, and that's why he was so pro. I don't think you're pro-choice. I think you're pro-abortion, but that's just my opinion. But these are the words he said. And then, of course, he's the only, to my knowledge, sitting U.S. president who spoke to Planned Parenthood and closed out his speech with God bless Planned Parenthood. To my knowledge, I think he's the only sitting U.S. president that's ever done that. I imagine there will be more down the road. This is our culture now. But it doesn't start, I mean, it doesn't just end with what's going on in the womb. It goes all the way up to the aging population. And you've got Zeke Emanuel, who is now going to be involved in our government again. He was heavily involved in Obamacare, his brother Rahm Emanuel. But Zeke is a big proponent that we're spending way too much money on people over 75. And we need to be spending it on younger, healthier people as far as health care. Now, where do you think that's going to go? And then you've got people that, you know, where they're suffering, let's go ahead and just end it. You know, death with dignity and all these kinds of things. Now, if you want to get a clear handle on some of this stuff, go back and look at some of the stuff that Francis Schaeffer did back in the 70s, How Should We Then Live, or Whatever Happened to the Human Race. This is, nothing's new, but we're putting better marketing on it now as a culture and as a country, so it doesn't seem so horrific. But make no mistake, it is horrific. And this is where we are. So, Kelly in Arkansas. Kelly, good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
All right. You know, do you know the hymn?
Wonderful Words of Life.
Wonderful. Should I get you to sing it this morning live on the radio?
I'm really a choir director. I'm a caregiver. I have a brother that has a child with autism, and I have a prodigal son that's fought with alcohol and drugs. I've dealt with, I lost a unborn child years ago, and my daughter just lost a grandbaby. And, your program really blesses me and my whole family. I tell everybody about it. I don't really want to sing it to you. My preacher won't let me sing. He'll let me play a saxophone, but he won't let me sing.
Well, I'm not going to sing it this morning either. But you know what? I love these. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Man. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life.
Amen.
And I love that hymn, Kelly. I just love that hymn.
I do, too. I was a choir director in a Methodist church for a long time, and the hymns are powerful. When you don't have a message, you can go to a hymn, and it'll preach.
Indeed it will. Now, here's the bonus question. Do you know who wrote it?
I do not. I've been thinking. I've been sitting here in my truck for a long time, thinking and thinking. I really think it was a lady... Maybe Fanny?
No, it wasn't Fanny Crosby, even though she wrote 10,000 hymns. But it was a guy, and it's a great, you're gonna be very pleased when you hear that. I'll give some other folks a chance on that because I think it's important. I'm like you. I go back and look at these hymns. And they are a treasure trove, but that's why I want to introduce this. And by the way, I believe he was a Methodist.
I think you're right. We won't say it, though. I wanted to also tell you that my little 12-year-old grandson said yesterday, he said, you know, we're really 9 months older than we look. And I said, what are you getting at? He said, well, we're just really older than we look. And I said, you mean... And I know
that I look older than I am, and that's just because of caregiving. No. I tell people, I said, look, don't let this happen to somebody you love. Well, listen, Kelly, I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate the this show, your kind words about how this show has touched your life. You know, when I started adding in family members of alcoholics and addicts, it really hit a nerve because nobody had ever really thought of that as a caregiver role. But you do. You get that, don't you?
Oh, it just really, I mean, it just touched my heart. It's an amazing thing. I didn't realize. I knew my brother was taking care of my nephew with autism, but I'm thinking, here I've watched this son of mine deal with alcohol and drugs so long, and I'm thinking, I'm a caregiver too, you know, because we'll try anything, won't we?
Yes, and we're trying to fix something we can't control, and we can't fix it. It's beyond our abilities. It's not beyond God's abilities, but it's beyond ours. And so I appreciate that your words. They mean a lot to me because I put it out there, and you never quite know who's listening and what they're going through. And Kelly, it means a lot to me personally to know that this has been a source of comfort to you and strengthening to you. Yep. And I thank you for listening. And you keep listening because I'm going to answer that question of who wrote this, and it's going to surprise you. And but I think you'll be delighted. But let me jump on some more calls here. Brenda in Michigan. Thank you again, Kelly. Brenda in Michigan. Good morning, Brenda. How are you feeling?
Good morning. I'm feeling good. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. And so you knew the answer too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Wonderful Words of Life. That was the first hymn I learned how to play on the piano. Not quite as good as you, but I remember that. I mean, I was from...
That's very kind of you. Did you like my chords that I threw in there?
Yes.
Now that's these flat nine chords. Those will get me brought up on charges in some churches. Those are those are not sanctioned chords in some churches. But I love that hymn. And now, how long have you been playing the piano?
Well, I took lessons 3 years when I was a kid. Third, fourth, and fifth grade, and since then I plunk with the best of them. So there you go.
Well, it has been a great source of comfort to me to play. I started playing when I was 5 years old, and I would go up to my dad was a minister down in Atlanta at the time, and they had a beautiful grand piano there at the front of the church, and I would go up there and start plunking on that thing. And I remember one lady who came up to me years later after I was playing. She said, I remember when you came up and were beating on that piano. And I said, Lord, please make that child stop playing the piano. And she said, I take back that prayer. I'm so sorry I ever prayed that. And I told her it's really okay. And but I started taking lessons when I was a kid. I ended up majoring in music and still stay in touch with my jazz piano professor in college, who's over 80 now. And it's been a great source of comfort to me. And I think, to my knowledge, I'm the only radio host in America that has a keyboard hooked up to the show where I do this. But that's a big part of my life is music, and a big part of it is the hymns. And that's really quite neat that this was the first hymn that you played as a pianist. And so that's wonderful. Well, Brenda, thank you for calling in. Do you know the author of it? Do you know who wrote it?
I have no idea.
All right, we're going to keep going, but keep listening because it'll surprise you who wrote it. Well, Brenda, thank you so much for calling, okay? Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Yep.
All right, Starla in Louisiana. Starla, good morning. How are you feeling?
Good morning. How are you?
You know, I'm all right, but tell me how you are doing.
I'm actually doing a lot better. We just came through with my parents, both had COVID. I had COVID, and mine and my daddy's both went into pneumonia. But we are all on the mend, thank God.
And, good to hear.
My song request is, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Let's see. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Da, 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 da. Is that it?
To be a sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. It's been, if I played that one, it's been a long time. So I'm going to have, I don't even have it in my hymnal, so I got to figure out how that goes. How's that go?
Sanctuary, pure and holy, and prepared for you.
I think it starts off like this. Lord, prepare. Is that right? I'll have to work that up for you, because I'm not going to try to make y'all listen to me stumble through it through the show here. But I'll try to work that up. I'll go to the break and see if I can find a chart for it, and I'll do it. Do you know who wrote "Wonderful Words of Life"?
No, I don't.
Oh, it'll surprise you. It'll surprise you. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling. We got to go to a break. Starla, I do appreciate you calling. I'm glad you guys got through all the stuff that you're going through. And as your journey as a caregiver continues on with your parents and so forth, I hope that you'll keep listening and the show will be a source of strength to you.
Oh, I do. I listen every Saturday.
Well, thank you very much for that. You behave yourself now. And just don't go away. Stop listening, because I'm going to tell you who wrote this in the last segment, and I'll see if I can find Lord Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary and see if I can play that for you.
Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees, and that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com.
He will be strong to deliver me safe, and the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio, 888-589-8840. This is Peter Rosenberger, and that is Gracie and Russ Taff from her CD, Resilient. Go get a copy of that today, hopeforthecaregiver.com, hopeforthecaregiver.com. I'm embarrassed, Starla, you're still listening, but I'm embarrassed because I should have known this. John Thompson wrote that song with Randy Scruggs. John Thompson, I knew John many, many years ago, know his family, and he also wrote the music to El Shaddai, and I should have known that. I'm sorry. I just, you know, it's early in the morning here in Montana where I am. Karen in Missouri wants to sing that for me. Karen, how are you feeling?
Okay. Now, I can't sing that well, Peter, but your name is Peter Rosenberger?
Last I checked, it is. That's what it says on the pay stub. And
okay, I just want to sing a verse of that, if you don't mind.
Just go right ahead,
because
Karen.
Because the lady before me, she didn't know all the words, but I want to sing a verse. It's, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Take it up a little bit. Lord, prepare me.
You want me to sing?
And holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. That's why I married a singer, because I'm not one.
I can't sing that good.
Well, listen, I can't either, but you're doing fine. You're doing great this morning. If I get Gracie up this early, we'd get her out here singing. Then, boy, we'll have church, won't we?
Oh, she has a beautiful voice. I love to hear her sing.
Oh, me too. I get to hear that every single day. Mm-hmm. And
I'd like to buy some of her CDs. I'd like to.
Well, go out. I tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to send you one. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
How about if I just send you a copy of her CD, Resilient? And I'm going to put you on hold, and Mark will get you information. She's got a version on this thing of, she does a cappella of Be Still My Soul, and then she goes into Balm and Gilead. And she does Balm and Gilead like nobody you've ever heard sing it, and it will break your heart. And it is beautiful with the orchestra, the piano. We did this, and you will love this. So I'm going to put you on hold. And Mark's going to get you information. I'm going to send you a copy of her CD, all right?
Thank you so much.
Well, Karen, thank you for calling. And I appreciate you being a part of the show this morning. So I'm going to put you on hold now. Don't go anywhere, okay? Whoops. Mark, I just cut her off. I'm so sorry. Karen, call back. Mark will get you, and he'll get you information. Just call back. I'm sorry about that. This is what happens when I try to play the piano, run a radio show, and work a board all at the same time. I mean, it gets a little bit challenging, you know. I mean, I'm not working with a whole lot anyway. But I wanted to go back to this song that we did. Karen's going to call back. Don't you go away, Karen. You call back, and Mark will get you information. I'll send that to you. Wonderful Words of Life. I wanted to go back to that one and make sure that you guys knew who wrote this song. Sing them over and over again. Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful Words of Life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. And that hymn is important because it anchors us in what feeds our soul. We've been talking about life today. So many caregivers are just consumed with death. We live with suffering. We live with heartache. We live with challenges. And this show is all about helping speak life into your situation so that you are able to withstand these things and understand that there's more going on for you as a caregiver. Boy, I feel bad, Mark. You got to find that beautiful lady that called and she, I hung up on her, Mark. You got to find her And because now I feel bad about that. So please call back, Karen. But this song was written by Philip Bliss. Now, do you know who Philip Bliss was? He wrote another tune for a very famous hymn that was written by a guy named Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford wrote the text, but Philip Bliss wrote the music. And here's the music he wrote. It is well with my soul. And you think about it, and he also wrote, Hallelujah, What a Savior. I mean, he wrote some of these wonderful hymns. And do you go and just read a hymn book sometime? Do you have a hymn book in your house that you do? You can look at it online, but do you have a hymn book in your house that I would highly recommend just thumbing through it? There's a wonderful series of hymns called books called Then Sings My Soul. Yeah, are you familiar with that one? Then Sings My Soul, written by Robert Morgan. Robert Morgan is a wonderful pastor down in Nashville, and I've known him for years, and he was a caregiver for more than 25 years for his wife, Katrina, who had dealt with MS. And Robert and I went to the same Bible college. He was about 10 years older than me, and been on the show with me a time or two. Just a wonderful guy. And he is enraptured by the hymns as well, because these hymns really mean something to us in these difficult times. And it is, and he went and did the backstory on a lot of these things. And the series sold very well. And it'd be a great gift to give to someone to help encourage them with these tremendous stories of faith written by these extraordinary individuals. Martin Luther used to say that next to the Word of God, music elevates the soul like nothing else. And so that's why I take a little time here on the keyboard and so forth to play for you guys and to recall to your mind songs that are going to be meaningful to you. And I can guarantee you, wonderful words of life will stick in your mind today. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Say it with me. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. This is what we've got to affirm to ourselves on a regular basis as caregivers. Because if we don't, who are we going to listen to? What are we going to listen to? John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And look at our society, look at our culture, look at our world. So much death, destruction. But Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it more abundantly. In one translation. Can you do that as a caregiver? You tell me. Are you doing that as a caregiver? Are you having life more abundantly as a caregiver while you look at painful things in your life on a daily basis? Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Karen, in Missouri, you got to call back, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. So make sure I send you Gracie's CD, and I'm so sorry about that I ended up cutting you off inadvertently. I got all this head, so little brain, and that was my bad on that, because I want to get you a copy of that CD, 888-589-8840. If you'll please call back for that. And but I want to leave you all with that today, because it's I know so many caregivers who are deeply troubled by what they have to witness every day. It is a hard thing to watch someone suffer. It is a hard thing to watch those who loom large in our life decline. It is a hard thing to watch people spiral out of control. But if we continue to entertain the thought that if it's uncomfortable for us, we get rid of it, which is what our culture does, we're missing out on the provision of God's grace, sustenance, of himself in the midst of this. That we miss out on him revealing more of himself in this and strengthening us so that we can see beauty and life in a way that we would not have seen it before. It's a hard thing. And I would never tell you that it's not. It is a hard thing to do what we do as caregivers. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Are you speaking wonderful words of life to yourself today? Remember when David was at Ziklag, back in 1 Samuel, and all of his men, their wives and their possessions, their children, were all carried off by the Amalekites. And David's old men were going to stone him. And he knelt down and he just encouraged himself in the Lord all by himself. And he got up and he led his men back to reclaim all that was taken from them. Are you encouraging yourself in the Lord today? Are you able to do that all by yourself? Sing these hymns to yourself and it will. HopeForTheCaregiver.com.
This is John Butler, and I produce Hope for the Caregiver with Peter Rosenberger. Some of you know the remarkable story of Peter's wife, Gracie. And recently, Peter talked to Gracie about all the wonderful things that have emerged from her difficult journey. Take a listen.
Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
When you go to the facility run by CoreCivic and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling. You see all these legs, like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms. Everything. When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry, because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. And so these men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. You know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that.
As you watch these inmates participate in something like this, knowing that they're helping other people now walk, they're providing the means for these supplies to get over there, what does that do to you just on a heart level?
I wish I could explain to the world what I see in there. And I wish that I could be able to go and say, this guy right here, he needs to go to Africa with us. I never not feel that way. Every time, you know, you always make me have to leave. I don't want to leave them. I feel like I'm at home with them. And I feel like that we have a common bond that I would have never expected that only God could put together.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that CoreCivic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and the other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that says so much. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limbs, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own for them to do. How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com /recycle.
Thanks, Gracie.